very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, this is the 49ers Emergency Episode Podcast. I'm going to unofficially change the name right now, since this is our third emergency episode. Does the week have any more days left? Have we more emergency episodes? The 49ers Plus Minus Podcast is the old name. Here with my co-host is Matt Barrows of The Athletic. I saw the news about the Parag Marathe leaving the 49ers. I thought, oh my God, that's pretty close to us going over the point where we're going to need to do an emergency episode. Maybe, maybe not. And then Deebo Samuel signs. Would they bring you up to the offices? Is what it looked like?
No. I got into the media room and John Lynch was standing there in front of a screen. So I think that there were so many things going on that they figured, okay, let's just bring John in. We don't have to subject Raheem Morris and Chris Foerster to the barrage of non-practice questions that they're going to get. So Lynch held court and had a lot to say, given all the topics that have been happening.
So, by the way, Deebo Samuel is signed. He was at practice, so we'll get the report on that. And by the way, Ricky Pearsall is undergoing a reconstructive surgery to the PCL and is out for the season. That's a big deal. We've been talking about it. I think much had been assumed, but this happening and John Lynch telling you about it, that's just a big deal. It's a player who will now have been through three seasons once this season is over and only played 20 games and had 67 total catches. And I don't know where he is in his future. What was the tone of John Lynch talking about that? I'm sure he's going to try to stay as optimistic as possible. But, man, this is a shot to the 49ers' plans for not just this season, for the season after that, the season after that, as we keep talking about. He was one of the few guys who are under 30 years old who was at a skill position and they were counting on.
Yeah, and a good separator too, which we'll talk about a little later when we talk about Deebo Samuel. But that was part of the plan, is that they bring in a guy that can create separation, a guy that's going to mesh well with Brock Purdy, a guy that's going to replace Brandon Ayuk in that offense. And all of a sudden, he's just done for 2026. And Lynch used the word gutted. He said that Pearsall is gutted, we're gutted. Because of what I just said, and because of the fact that they really like Ricky Pearsall as a person too, and probably has a even more special place, among the officials there, given what happened his rookie season with the gunshot and just kind of the miracle outcome of that. I don't know. So he said that it's usually a 6 to 12 month recovery. And he said that the sweet spot in that is probably going to be around 9 months. So if it's around 9 months, then you would think that, Ricky Pearsall might be up to speed for training camp 2027, which would be his final season under his rookie contract. They could go with the fifth year option, which they'd have to decide in March. Very, very hard to see them going with that.
No way.
They will not go. They will not pick that up. But so it means that Ricky Pearsall would be going into his contract season, having only played 20 games and having a significant PCL injury. I can't remember a player having PCL surgery myself. Lynch did say that the rest of the knee is in good shape. It's intact. That's always a big question when it comes to the PCL. I talked to an orthopedic surgeon yesterday who said, you start talking about the PCL and you're talking about different parts of the knee, including the meniscus and things like that. Apparently those are fine. So it's just this ligament that needs to be repaired. I think that if you're trying to pull some optimism out of this, that might be it. And so once he recovers from that PCL injury, he should be good to go for 2027, all of which means you're putting a lot of stock, a lot of pressure on Deebo Samuel. The other thing that Lynch said is that they've been talking to Samuel for about a month now. And the idea was that they bring him in and he's part of this rotation with Mike Evans and Ricky Pearsall, and now he's basically replacing Ricky Pearsall. So he just turned 30 earlier this year, and he's going to have to go back to, you know, the main Debo role that that he's had in recent years.
I think it's a fair question. I mean, could they have done this, elected to do the surgery a lot earlier, off season, or even when he's having a lot of complications during last season, which would have theoretically made him available to be able to play this season? I get why you don't do it. You're hoping you can avoid surgery. You're hoping you can get games out of him and he can just fight through this. But Barros, was that asked, or is there some question whether they were over optimistic about this, as I've accused of them in the past with injuries? Like, hey, just get this thing fixed.
Yeah, he was. John Lynch was asked that, and the answer was that he said that a lot of different doctors were consulted. He seemed to imply that maybe Dr. Neil Elitrosh, who is their knee surgeon for the team, even though he's the Rams team doctor, was consulted. And everybody said that the first step you take is to see if it will heal on its own. Remember, Dominic Pooney had PCL last year. Mac Jones had PCL last year. Christian McCaffrey had a PCL in 2024. All of those guys didn't do anything, and it eventually healed. The issue last year was that he kept tweaking it. So it wasn't just, the week four against the Jaguars injury. It was that plus him falling on it fairly significantly at least two other times. And I don't know whether that further frayed that ligament to the point where it couldn't heal altogether. But maybe that should have been the course of action. You do it week four, and then you don't try to come back after that, because it did obviously mean that that the injury reoccurred. Like I said, PCL injuries, not all that common in my coverage of the 49ers, and this is the first one that I can remember. Now, back in the day, the first 10 years of my career, you didn't follow it that closely in the offseason. You know, if a guy had knee surgery, you just reported, oh, he's coming back from offseason knee surgery, or he had a scope. It's possible that some of the guys that I covered had PCL surgeries. I certainly don't remember them happening, should be maybe the end of the spring before we see Ricky Pearsall back on the field.
Debo Samuel, first comments from John Lynch about what their plans are. It seemed pretty vast, right? So Debo Samuel's going to be doing Debo Samuel things. What struck me, one, he said, you know, obviously receiver, they're going to need him for that. He's going to be the running the ball, he said. I don't know how much of that Debo has in him, but we'll see. And he is committed to being a full-time kick returner. That's big, right? That is big. We know he's really good at it. We know they've thrown him back there just kind of like when they absolutely needed something. And at times he's given them big returns. If he's your most of your time punt and kick returner, I don't know that he would be, you know, maybe I'd say mostly the kickoff returner. That is an interesting addition to what his role could be. Do you think he'll be the full-time kickoff returner and maybe catch some punts, or is he full-time both?
I mean, Lynch said that that's how we're going to use him. I would be surprised, though, if he's full-time kick returner. He usually was the, in case of emergency, break glass kick returner in the past. That, I mean, especially if he's got a starting role opposite Mike Evans at that Z receiver spot, I don't think that he's going to be your full-time kick returner. You could put Kalen Black back there. You could put Jordan James back there. You could put any number of players back there. Like I said, maybe in a special situation where they just need a spark at the end of the game, they do that. I'm curious always about Debo Samuel's physique and his stamina and things like that. And Lynch said that he came in Friday afternoon and they gave him a workout then. And he went through that workout really well, to the point where he practiced in full today, which to me is pretty significant. Usually, you know, a new guy comes in and you ease him back in. Deebo Samuel was part of that rotation throughout the practice. It was a long practice. He got a lot of passes, and he caught a nice one. This was a very difficult practice for the offense. It looked very ragged at times. A lot of drop passes, a lot of overthrows, a lot of kind of muff plays and things like that. So it wasn't clean, but Deebo Samuel was one of the highlights. A big crossing pattern pass from Brock Purdy, and he also took a handoff and got a significant gain. So, I mean, if you'd been on vacation or in a coma for the 2025 season and you watched this practice, you would have thought that nothing has changed as far as Deebo Samuel and the 49ers. Although you would note that, hey, wasn't he wearing number one last year? Because he was back in his number 19. He offered a little bit of cashola to Jacob Cowing to get his old number 19 back. But he looked good. I mean,
he looked from the video. He looked pretty skinny. I mean, you're a
time will tell.
Yeah, connoisseur of the Deebo Samuel physique. I thought he looked pretty skinny.
He's not quite 2019 rookie year Deebo Samuel, but he's also not 2024 final year with the 49ers Deebo. He's somewhere between that, which I think at age 30 is pretty good. And I there's a direct correlation between his weight and his productivity. So having him at weight, and believe me, he can put it on really quickly. So you have to be wary of that. But right now, he looks good. He looks quick. He looks like someone who can do the Deebo things that we expect, which is getting the ball in stride and then picking up yards after the catch. It'll be up to Mike Evans to be the separator. And so that sort of begs the question. He's 33, Debo's 30. Who's your separator? Who's your Brandon Ayoub / Ricky Pearsall now? And I think that they hope that Deshaun Stribling is that guy or can contribute. He didn't practice today either. Mm-hmm. He's got a hamstring. What was the phrase? The team made sure to say that it wasn't a strain, tightness. He's dealing with hamstring tightness. Yeah. So he didn't practice. They've got their big quotes jog through practice tomorrow on Sunday, and then they have what should be their busiest practice of the season so far on Monday. Whether they go full rigorous practice on Monday or not, I don't know. But already they've got a lot of guys missing in action.
Let's just let you know, Deebo Samuel is not going to put up 1,700 yards. He's not going to be that guy anymore. Not going to run 75 times for whatever that was, 200 yards. But he caught 75 balls last season. You know, so short balls, whatever. But that's kind of what they just need, someone they can get the ball to. And I think I said a couple times ago, it's like they've been doing all that short stuff to McCaffrey, and that builds up wear and tear on McCaffrey. This could take some. I think the load he's taken off maybe is from McCaffrey, and maybe instead of having to depend on him on every second and 10 to go get 7 yards on a short pass, you can take him out, put Kalen Black or Jordan James in there, and have Deebo do some of that. I think that's maybe the beneficiary of this. And can he catch 60 balls for 605 yards, 3 touchdowns, that sort of thing. I think he can do that. He played 16 games last season, and he played most of every game with the 49ers, even though there was always something with him, right? Where there was always Deebo limping off the field, whatever.
Yeah.
He had a very physical
brand issue. Yeah.
Very physical brand of football. Obviously this is, not a tall guy, and he takes shots, but he's played games, Ricky Pearsall hasn't. So what you lose maybe in the dynamic ability to get open that Ricky Pearsall had, you get, I think, just maybe you can get the ball to figure out a way to get the ball to Deebo 4 times. And you're probably going to gain some yards doing that. And defenses are going to, they're not going to be freaking out over it, but they're going to have to worry about it. The Deshaun Stribling injury is obviously not great. If maybe he can get right back in there. No Christian Kirk still, right? I mean, that is a continuing thing. And, at some point, they got to move on, right? At some point, like, we're practicing the people who are going to be playing for us. Of course, they could have more injuries. He could come back. It's just receivers and defensive ends, Barros. It always is those guys in
always training, receivers and defensive ends. They've gotten that was their offseason focus, and they've gotten smaller at those positions. We're not even a week into practice, especially defensive end. But before I talk about defensive end, I totally agree with you about Debo / Christian McCaffrey. I think that's going to be a priority this season, not to overtax Christian McCaffrey, not because you're worried about him, you know, getting hurt or anything like that. But I think that his explosion was compromised by just the sheer amount of touches he was getting. And right now he looks really good. I mean, I think that's something that's probably been skipped over early in training camp. He looks fantastic. And they need to make sure that that is maintained. And, you know, we were thinking early in camp that they do that through Jordan James and through Kalen Black and having a really good backup behind him. But to your point, you can also do that through the receiving part of the equation, having somebody else to take those short passes that were basically kept this offense afloat during the first half of the season last year. So I think that's a really good point. Now, to defensive end, they started the day without Cam Sample, who's, you know, fighting for a backup position. And then they lost, I think, three other guys throughout the practice, including Mikhail Kamara, undrafted defensive end out of Indiana. They were looking at his knee, his right knee, for the longest time, and then they carted him off the field. That didn't look like a good injury. Romello Height had an elbow issue. Keon White had an adductor. That's a kind of a thigh muscle inside of your thigh issue. Nick Bosa isn't practicing in full. Obviously, Mykel Williams isn't practicing in full. By the end of the practice, you had Kevin Givens playing defensive end, and you had one of the three healthy defensive ends, a guy named KJ Henry, basically, you know, on his hands and knees while a trainer was putting cold water on the back of his neck. That's how many snaps he was logging because he was having to pull double and triple duty by the end of the practice. So they need to bring in bodies for sure, just to get through practices from here on out. The question is whether they bring in a high profile body at some point, because they are at DEFCON 2, or I forget what the worst DEFCON is. DEFCON 4,
one. DEFCON it's 2. One. It goes from 5 down to 1.
I wouldn't say they're at 1 yet, because they do have Bosa.
Maybe it's the other way. My bad. But well, go ahead. I'm going to get emails.
Anyway, we're probably at the second worst DEFCON at this point, because you do have Bosa coming back. You've got Mykel Williams, who you think, if he's not back for week one, he's going to play most of the season. And those are your top two guys, but just getting through practices right now is going to be tough unless they add some bodies.
And I am circling those two joint practices. We know 2 years ago they canceled the one they were going to do with the Saints in L.A. When they got a massive rash of injuries, defensive ends and receivers back then, I believe. They got one coming up in about a week and a half in Santa Clara with the Titans. And then they have another one scheduled in L.A. with the Chargers. We shall see. You know, this is getting close to that area where you'd go, maybe we don't need to put our guys through something that intense. Like, say it's Bosa's first weeks back. You don't want to have him do, you know, 30 reps when, you know, he could do 10 if you have a fully healthy complement of players. So let's just see. I don't know. And that includes their coach. You don't even know if their coach is going to be able to be out there the whole time. I heard that Lynch said something about that, progress with Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, for sure. Lynch said that Shanahan addressed the team, had a team meeting this morning, Saturday morning, for the first time this summer. So there's progress there. And then Shanahan came out way earlier than he normally does. And he didn't just kind of stand behind the defense next to Lynch like he had last week. Or earlier this week, he was more in the offensive backfield. I think it was still Clay Kubiak, who was doing all the offensive calls, but Shanahan was obviously much more active and more in the areas of the field that he normally is. So he seems to, today, Saturday, he seemed to take the biggest step that I've seen so far. I'm not going to guess when he comes back, but the progress is noticeable. So I would say that probably by the time of that that Chargers joint practice, he should be okay. But maybe you and I are really smart not to have bought our plane tickets to that so far. I thought I was cutting it too close, but it may be that one gets canceled as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, those decisions. I would think Shanahan might be even on a pace ahead of that, though. If he's speaking, that's a big deal. Speaking to the team, that's his thing. Who knows? Again, who knows? You know, you don't know what the symptoms can rise up again. But speaking to the team's a big deal. Like, this is the energy required to lead them, you know, a large group of men. There's 90 players through force of will, personality, intelligence. This is going to be an interesting week coming up, I think. I don't know. I'm not predicting anything. I think this could be an interesting week. This is the week before the Titans joint practice. And I think there's going to be, you know, once they get into that, then you got the preseason. That's the preseason, right? Those three games. They're thinking about Australia, like right around then. Like they are like kind of locking in on that game, playing the Rams, their bitter rivals, getting on that plane, all those things. So I just think some of this is clicking, at least to get the team ready, and then we'll see where Kyle Shanahan is. Other aspects of this practice, other than Debo doing some stuff and the defense kind of winning the day over the offense?
Well, they did more one-on-one stuff. I watched the receivers versus the defensive backs. I was looking for kind of Debo highlights there, and he did well on those. Wesley Grimes, he's a guy that we hadn't talked about to this point, undrafted rookie. He's the one that sort of stood out in that drill, had a couple of really nice plays. Other than that, like I said, it was a ragged, sort of disheveled offensive performance. And I think that's partly due to, you know, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw and the boys on defense. But I just felt like they had a big practice yesterday, big emotional, long practice. You were there on Friday, and they're just kind of paying the price for that on Saturday. So they'll go into this jog through on Sunday. And then, you know, theoretically, at least, they will be fresher for the Monday sort of finale of that second group of four practices.
Well, let's face it, they're emotional when I'm there, right? That just gets them emotional.
You got them fired up. Yeah, and they fight too.
And then I don't show up and things kind of, there's a lull, like the emotional lull, who knows. Let's talk about Parag Mrawicz. I believe we'll be the only podcast that talks very much about Parag Mrawicz's departure, but it is a big deal. Obviously, 25 years with the 49ers, just almost like lined up with Jed York taking over the 49ers. They were a tandem for a long time. And in some ways, an alter ego for Jed, or the vice versa. They ran it together. Jed was the owner, is the owner. But Parag Mrawicz in various different roles, sometimes, you know, a lot of involvement with the football side, sometimes almost exclusively on the financial side with the salary cap negotiations, but just a continuing huge force on this team. Now he's leaving to run 49ers own soccer teams, Liverpool and Rangers FC. Just they're really interested in international soccer, international football, as you would say. And I don't put it past them bringing him back at some point. Like, he's still connected to this team. He's so important to this team.
Well, but it's 49ers Enterprises versus like, the 49ers. So
exactly.
It's a little bit still, of potato here.
And he's, if Jed York's running the team, Parag Mrawicz is going to be important. Someone who can always be around, have influence. Jed will check with him. But what's your reaction to this news? Like, they're saying it, like, Parravanite is no longer with the 49ers, although obviously he's still a hugely influential person within the greater corporation of the 49ers.
Well, it's sort of like what we were saying about Kyle Shanahan and his absence to begin training camp. He surrounded himself with so many people, loyal to him, who have been with him, that when he's not coaching, they can put it on autopilot for a little bit. And so the guys who have been brought up underneath Parravanite, and that's Brian Hampton and Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, the former Vikings GM who's back with the 49ers now, both have been under Marate for long periods of time. I think that Hampton entered as a 49ers intern back in 2003. So he's been around for the same amount of time that Prague and Jed have been around. My point is that Hampton's already been doing a lot of the contract stuff, maybe not the biggest ones, maybe not the George Kittle contracts and the Brock Purdy contracts, but certainly pieces of those. Certainly he's been in on those. Maybe he hasn't done those exclusively, but he does the Keon White contract. He does the, you know, everything else, basically on the team. So, they're in good hands there. And then Adolfo-Mensah was a GM for a number of years with the Vikings. So, I think that, his legacy obviously is taken care of. I don't think that the 49ers will skip a beat. But, you know, to your point, he was sort of the Carmen Policy to Jed York's Eddie D for a while. When the 49ers are realize in 2017 that they want to hire Kyle Shanahan as their head coach, and that they need to pair him with the GM. They can't find the right GM to pair with Kyle Shanahan. There's no kind of natural fit. And this was a big, big goal for the 49ers after the bulky Harbaugh years, was to find a GM head coach pairing that meshes well. It was those two guys, Prague and Jed York, that did all the interviews, including the interview with John Lynch. I think it was in Atlanta before a Falcons playoff game that
John Lynch broadcast.
And that John Lynch broadcast after the 26th regular season. So, he was there. Prague was there when this team has made its biggest decisions in the last quarter of a century, including what Jed York would say is its best decision, which was hiring these two as a tandem.
Well, they talk about that quiz, right? They both had to take a quiz on what their, things that they were focused on and rank them in order. And they both talk about how that was something that they both passed. They didn't realize it was going to be so similar, but it was very similar. Defensive line, I think, is what it was.
And QBs. You know, which are the two most important positions on a team?
God, I thought Shanahan might take kicker. I really, that he loves the kicker.
I thought John Lynch would say safety, but apparently safety was like at the bottom.
Anybody could play safety. I will say that, Parravanite is known for being a really sharp guy, obviously has kept the 49ers in pretty good stead on the salary cap after inheriting a very bad situation way back when in the early 2000s. But agents haven't loved him. They don't like dealing with him. I mean, but that's part. There's some respect there. You don't want to be a pushover in negotiations, but I have highlighted some of these rough times. One of them was Deebo Samuel in 2022, and it didn't go very well for a while. There was a trade request. Obviously, Deebo requested trades twice and was traded once. The Brandon Ayuk thing, this whole joking about how Kyle had a run-up and stopped perhaps Parag from trading Ayuk after Ayuk agreed to terms, that's joke, truth in jest. Like, Parag was like the guy, the hammer. Like, let's go. Okay, gun, fine, go. And there have been a lot of stories about that. Again, this is, you're trying to get something done. I get it. I'm not criticizing Prague for this, other than there are agents who will criticize him. But the 49ers usually got all these deals done. They're not blowing out players because they couldn't get into deals. They did end up doing these deals with Bosa, with Ayuk, with Debo, with Purdy, with Kittle, with Warner. But there was always friction, like the Trent Williams thing. I just saw Parag's fingerprints on when they're, you know, reported that, oh, they could trade him or they don't have to pay him. Right? You know, this is might not happen. And I just thought a lot of it was clunky, but he got it done. I'm not saying he didn't get it done. I've always gotten along with Parag myself. I've ripped him a lot, especially, you know, in the whispers against Harbaugh and the Balky stuff, though I do believe now Balky was maybe the lead guy on a lot of the whisper campaign, but who knows? There's a long legacy here for Parag Marate, but he stuck it out. He kept going through this, and he was always Jed's guy, and that's important. And if he had some rough negotiations, he did it with Jed's backing. And I think Jed kind of liked – and you and I know Jed. I think he kind of liked it that way. I do think he's a little spicy on some of these negotiations.
Well, especially when you're coming after his money.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and so Parag Marate was sort of the guardian of Jed York's money, and was an aggressive guardian of that money, which is where these issues come in. Now, Eric Branch asked a great question today of Debo Samuel. He said, you know, you've twice asked for a trade. You know, it hasn't always been, you know, sunshine and roses here with the 49ers. How were you able to kind of transcend that? And Debo Samuel said that was contract stuff. Contract stuff is contract stuff. The relationships, you know, my relationship with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan has always been strong. That's the difference between between Trent Williams, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Debo Samuel and the 49ers, and Brandon Ayuk in the 49ers, is that Brandon Ayuk allowed that to kind of seep in to the football side of things, that animosity he felt, that all these guys felt during the contract negotiation. He let that bleed into the football side of things. And you see him attacking Lynch, you see him attacking Kyle Shanahan now. So that's where that one went a little bit haywire.
Just a little bit. And he won the – that's what I was saying. He won the negotiation. He did win the negotiation, and it still happened. But Debo's always been in good stead, certainly with Shanahan and Lynch. It's going to be interesting if the 49ers aren't as aggressive in these negotiations. We'll see if there isn't this sort of, like, you know, threats or whatever these were. You know, with Ayuk, it was like they're going to trade him. Absolutely right. Remember, that was in August that we're going to trade him. Like, we're ready to trade him. I don't think that was all Parag. I do think Jed kind of likes this stuff in the big negotiations. I'm just going to say it. But I don't think Kwesi and or Hampton are like this. We'll see. And maybe they don't get as good deals. Maybe they do. I'm going to be curious. But that's Parag's reputation, and it's an earned reputation. I don't think he would disagree with this. He's a tough negotiator. These dollars mean something to the 49ers, and they have not been afraid to say some things that got players pissed off. I know they did, because I've heard back from people around the players who were absolutely pissed off. And then some of them, most of them, it's negotiations, and football's football, like Debo just said. Ayuk and maybe one or two others just didn't love it and had a little chip on the shoulder about it. But that's life is. It's a business. All right, Barros, your business, we're business. We're cranking out the numbers on these emergency podcasts. That's one of the reasons we're doing it. Obviously, there's a lot to talk
about. I'm going
to
have Prague negotiate my next contract with 49ers emergency podcast. Get a higher percentage.
I can out-negotiate Parag. Don't you worry about that. No worries there. I have had agents tell me that I should have been an agent, and I would have been a tough one. So let's go, Parag. You represent my Barros. You're going to get 5% of the Barros money. Let's go. It's like negotiating against Bosa. All right, everybody. That is the latest emergency episode of 49ers Plus Minus. There will not be a show tomorrow unless some hell breaks loose, and even then, probably not. Monday, I don't know, maybe Barros will do one on his own off of practice. I might try to get down there. It's also the baseball trade deadline, so it's going to be a little tough for me. But we'll see what else we can get out there. But this has been our burst, our flurry, and we're going to put up numbers, and then we'll see how it goes from there. Maybe one next week, but I'm just saying that probably end up being an emergency podcast in there somewhere. All right, Barros, that is it for today, unless you got more emergencies for us.
No, I want you to run up the stairs and say, "Hey, we can't fire Barrows. He's too important to the podcast." Don't trade him.
The person upstairs is me. So
that's right.
We'll deal with that. All right, everybody. That's the show for today. Talk to you later. Mm-hmm.